Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Wednesday edition of the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Happy birthday!
Oh, you! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday!
Thank you. I was assuming all of you were in on this.
Yes.
Okay. Ike Reese, an Iron Man.
Yeah, there he is.
Could have played a lot worse. Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that. No one, Jack. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you to everybody.
There he
thank
is. You. Happy birthday.
All right, Eagles chant.
Yeah.
All right. I'll let you, boy. Yeah. There you go. Thank you. Thank you to everybody.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. The embarrassment continues. Yes.
Yeah. Well, we said we would do it now, and then we don't have anything else planned the rest of the show.
And if until we the did, top five.
Yeah.
Until the top five. Exactly.
There
yes.
You go.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Happy
appreciate
birthday,
it,
Ike.
Thank you.
There you go. So, and Ike told me when I came back, he was like, Ike's like, I want to work till 60. You got to give me 10 years. So, well, 9 years left.
Well, we're going to count down every year. Okay. Yep,
all right.
Yep, we're in there.
You want to get Jack to holler at you? We interrupted.
Yeah, Jack, he's out, man. I said holler at you, boy.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. All right. Happy birthday, Ike.
Okay.
It's as sentimental as it gets.
Yeah. You know me.
Yep. Yeah.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah. Well, we do have a big show as always. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to talk to Larry Anderson. He'll join us at 3 o'clock to sort of do his. We haven't heard from LA since the end of the season, so a little postmortem on the Philly season with LA.
I think he likes it that way. By the way,
yes. We'll see if we can rile him up. Then at 3:30, we have the debut of a new segment here on the WIP Afternoon Show, our Flyers dedicated segment with Broads Flyers in 50.
Ah.
So that'll be at 3:30. Baldy joins us at 4 as he always does, and then the new Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings, which took off last week because of the Phillies game. So it's going to be a very big show in honor of your birthday, of course. So we start, and I would like to start this with a sort of a neutral tone in that...
Neutral tone?
Well, here's what I mean.
Yeah.
So we have talked a lot about Coach Sirianni since Sunday.
Yes.
And most of the conversation has been pretty negative about him, not just as a coach, but as his behavior on Sunday. Mm-hmm. But this happened in the middle of the show yesterday. I wondered aloud as we were talking to Elliot, could he win the people back who are out on him? And I've been pretty neutral on Nick, which is not even my way. Mm-hmm. And I end up defending him because I think he gets blamed for a lot of things that are not his fault. However, the performance of the team has not been good in a while. And I just wonder, and I'm asking you, and mostly I'm asking you who are listening to the show, 215-592-9494, if Nick can win you back. If there's anything the team can do to, or anything Nick could do to win you back, to get you to believe again. Mm-hmm. What do you, now you've been a Nick guy.
I'm a Nick guy, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What do you think?
Well, listen, and being a Nick guy puts you in a lot of difficult positions at times, yes, when having to defend sort of his standing as head coach here with the Eagles and whether or not they should continue forward with him. I think there's way more positives with Nick Sirianni than there are negatives. When you ask, can he win over or win back some of the fan base, I'll tell you yes in a simple answer. And in a simple solution, by winning games. You know, by winning games and not being a distraction. I think if he's that way as a head coach, and as simple as that sounds, that may be the most difficult part to get him to win over this fan base. A, because if the team doesn't play well, he's going to get blamed. And if they don't make the playoffs, he's not going to be here next year.
For sure.
So winning is something they have to do. But then the whole distraction part where he has to find that line where he can go up to the line and showing his emotion, showing passion, trying to infuse energy into his team, but not go over that line. That's going to always be something that's difficult for him to balance and juggle. But I think he can do it. He can do it because I think he wants to do it. If he was a coach who felt like, bleep, you guys don't appreciate what I've done here. Oh, well, you know, that's kind of what we got out of Doc Rivers.
Yes.
That guy could never win over the fan base because he didn't care about winning over the fan base. He was going to tell you how much you didn't know and you didn't understand and how much you should appreciate what they're doing. Nick Sirianni doesn't come off that way. He doesn't come off condescending. As a matter of fact, he may try too hard to please too many people, whether it's through his actions or through his words by saying too much or doing too much. So I don't see him as someone who belittles the fan base or who doesn't think they're important and what they think is important and how they feel is important. I just think he has sometimes a difficult way of showing everyone that he's right there with you. But ultimately, that's where he's at. His heart is in it. And I think this fan base, with that, will recognize that, and some will soften. You're going to have those that are out there that are never going to bend. Chuck is never going to bend on a Nick Sirianni. Jack is never going to bend on a Nick Sirianni, right? He's going to always have, like, nope, he's not the guy. Get him out of here. But I think there is a portion of the fan base that does like Nick. They find some of what he does sort of endearing, and I don't know if charming is the right word because he's not really a charmer, but I think he does try to endear himself to the fan base with things he says and things he does. So if the winning comes along, I think people will be willing to soften their stance on him and at least sort of embrace him. I don't know if they're ever going to love him or view him as one of these top five coaches in the league, but he'll be our coach.
215-592-9494. Can Nick Sirianni win you back? Can he get your faith in him? So I'll be honest. When I first heard Nick talk, and generally when I hear Nick talk, except for when he was on with us, I actually thought he was really thoughtful when he was on with us. I get the, oh my God, this guy's a dummy vibes. But I think I learned a lesson once with that. And I learned it with Doug Peterson. The reason that I think Nick Sirianni can win me over is because Doug won me over.
Yeah, I was going to say a lot like Doug, yeah.
And I don't, you know, it's very easy to say, well, it's because he won a Super Bowl. And that is clearly part of it.
Part of it, yeah.
It's clearly part of it. The winning is clearly part of it. But for me, what Nick has to do is that I'll take winning for sure. For sure they have to win games. I don't think they have to win the Super Bowl. For me, it's the thing that you mentioned most is like, do not, I think of Nick almost like an offensive lineman in that you never hear about the offensive lineman until they have a holding penalty or a false start or whatever. Mm-hmm. But most guards, especially guards, you don't hear a word about them until the end of the year when they're an all-pro or something or a Pro Bowl or when there's a contract.
Yep.
You only hear about them when something bad happens. So I think what Nick has to do is stop worrying about whether he gets public credit and start worrying
True.
About whether internally things are going the right way.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of the mistakes he makes are well-intentioned mistakes publicly, but they go the wrong way. And the examples being, I think bringing his kids up was a well-intentioned mistake in the press conference.
Mm-hmm.
I think jawing with the fans was to appease players, wasn't
right.
to appease him. He knows it's the wrong thing.
Right.
He's too busy chasing this guy, to your point, wants to appease everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes when he gives long answers, it's to appease the press.
Mm-hmm.
I think when he takes blame for a bad play call, or it is to appease his coaches. And all these things, he's trying to appease everybody. He's not appeasing anyone. He's making his coaches feel awkward, who can definitely stand it. He's disappointing the fans. He's making the media's job almost harder, who probably just want to write about football, not write about some meltdown. So for me, winning aside, I'm willing to buy that the guy, I've had enough players say, both publicly and when we've had him on the air,
mm-hmm.
I believe in this guy. I like him. I like his attitude. I like how he holds us accountable. So I'll take that. But I also need him to stop being a negative and making this a circus.
Yep.
Because we were critical of Jalen Hurts for giving bad answers about Nick, who was creating distractions that we didn't need, whether he likes Nick or he doesn't like Nick.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, Nick is creating distractions by trying to make every... So to win me over, that stuff's just got to go away. Because I was fine the first 2-3 weeks of the year when people were blaming him for things that weren't his fault,
saying
that's not his fault.
Mm-hmm.
That's not his fault.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jack, is there anything that Nick could do to win you over?
I'm going to say this in the nicest way possible, because I don't dislike Nick as a guy.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's unfair. But he's just not my style of coach. I don't know what you want me to do. Like, I don't like the showboating. I don't like the super big personality on the sideline. I'm an act like you've been there before guy. Yeah, I know that the whole thing in baseball now is like, express yourself or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more of a act like you've been there before. He feels amateur hour to me. And he's always felt that way, even the Super Bowl year. So sure, can he win a Super Bowl? And great. Like if he wins
outside of that.
But no. And my biggest issue with Nick is I never feel like I have an advantage with him on the sidelines. I think that the players like him, but until they actually show that on the field with how much they respect Coach Sirianni, then I'll start believing more in that. But we haven't seen that for almost 2 years now. We haven't seen them, really go out and fight for their coach. Like, they just, every week, they don't look really ready to go. Outside of winning the Super Bowl, no. I'm out. Like, I view this whole thing almost as a waste. So I'm out on Nick Sirianni, and I don't think there's anything to do to win him back.
All right. Before we go to the phones, we do have next question returns today. Mm-hmm. Boy, we haven't done next question in a while, and we've got a great prize. So the prize for next question is a pair of tickets to the Flyers home opener against the Canucks.
Oh,
Saturday. For tickets, go to PhiladelphiaFlyers.com. You can see Miechkov in person.
Meech.
So, you call up with your sports point, but for next question, it's actually somebody else's birthday. It's Bryce Harper's birthday, who is Jack's...
That's a true goat.
That's a guy. That's your guy.
It's a man.
It's a guy.
Guy.
So...
You see that head of hair?
It's a great head of hair. And it's proof that you don't like showboaters, because Bryce would never...
Yeah, exactly.
He's a head down. He brings his lunch pail to work.
Yep. So for me, well, actually, Ike, do you have who's your guy?
Yeah, who's your guy?
Who's a guy?
Who's my guy?
Yeah,
who's a guy?
Come on, Ike, who's your guy?
I got a couple of guys that I like. I didn't know if I wanted to go with an athlete, an entertainer, an actor. But if I'm going for someone that I think, when I see him, I'm like, he's a guy. That's a man's
guy.
Man. I got to go Denzel.
Denzel's a good guy.
Denzel, man.
Yep.
Now, I don't
know. That's a big answer.
You know what I mean? Big answer on my birthday. I guess when you're acting, some of that has to be you, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean,
unless you're one of those psycho method actors. and Christian Bale is a psycho.
Denzel's played a lot of characters.
Yep.
But... I know people will be like, oh, you must like the guy from, what's the movie that he won the Oscar for?
Training Day. Right.
That's not one of my favorite Denzel roles, although it was a very good role.
Yeah.
I like some of Denzel's earlier roles where he was like the smooth guy, Mo Better Blues.
Yes.
Yeah, you say that? Bleak when he was in Mo Better Blues.
Well, and he has a lot of different versions of the guy.
Yes.
Of the guy. So mine... is not really going to be the same as the way you're thinking about it.
Okay.
Is the guys that pop up into my head are a little bit different. I got a couple actors. I got a couple, musicians. For me, it's Elvis.
Elvis is dead.
I don't care. He's still a guy.
He's a guy.
He lives forever.
He's the king.
He's the true king.
Oh, yeah. He's not one that makes their own nickname up.
Uh-oh. I just think Elvis was, to me... I like guys that are cool.
Yeah.
And when I saw Elvis on stage, I always say this. I was never an Elvis guy until I watched a concert. And I was just like, that dude has an entire arena of women waiting on his every single move.
I couldn't understand it.
He just
is
had
it. The suits? Is it the suits?
It was how he moved.
I mean.
He moved and the way he
wore a lot of onesies, man.
Yeah, well.
With rhinestones in them.
He made them work. I went through a onesie stage. glittered up onesie stage.
He was sweaty, too.
Yeah.
He was sweaty. Yeah.
Now, that might have been, you know, drug infused, but.
Well, eventually, yeah. Yes. I think the two things that Elvis had that kept everybody in the palm of his hand, one, it was the way he moved, but the other, and you notice this from the concerts, is when he would sing, he would make every person in the crowd feel like he was looking right at them.
Oh, man.
It's cool, man.
And back then, I mean, listen, that was, we're talking about 60s, right? Elvis is 60s,
yeah,
60s,
yeah.
70s.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, the hip thrusting stuff, that wasn't a necessary scene, so he was kind of a trendsetter with that.
Well, when he was on TV, they would only shoot him from the waist up because he was...
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think it was it Ed Sullivan or whatever, but okay. they couldn't show the hips.
Because he liked to thrust a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, he did. He did like to thrust. So I'm picking sure. Elvis. Elvis right up my alley.
I can't wait to hear your cool guy, your guy.
Yeah? Yeah. All right, so this might be a little different of an answer.
Yeah.
But when I think of like a guy...
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
I think O.G. Wade.
Get out of here.
Man.
That's it, dude. O.G. Wade's a guy.
Oh, my God. Dude, are you serious?
Strong in his convictions.
You're picking O.G. Wade?
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable. Then I'm picking Justin.
I knew it was going to be something.
Just, yes.
Yeah, because I know him.
Ridiculous.
O.G. Wade.
All right. So.
What, did he threaten you?
Nah, nah.
Jack's just mad he hasn't been invited to appear on the Knowledge Without College.
The Knowledge Without College podcast,
yeah. All right, so for next question today, who's a guy?
I got a few more, too.
For a pair of tickets. Oh, are you going to give away everybody's guy throughout the show?
Denzel, well, who's next?
For tickets to see Flyer.
I'll wait.
For tickets to the Flyers home opener. Remember, you can buy your tickets at philadelphiaflyers.com. All right, back to Sirianni. Kenny, win you back, leading us off. Big V, Mount Laurel, you're on WIP. What's up, Big V?
Hey, birthday boy, what's going on?
What's up, Big V?
Yo, man, Jackie Baseball.
Hey, Big V.
And the king of the, what did he say? The king of the...
Low lying fruit.
Low lying fruit.
Oh, yeah. That's me.
There you go.
Mr. Two Media controlling the narrative. Yes, sir.
Two kings in one family, you and your dad.
All right.
Well, listen. First of all, let me say this. Nick can't win me back because I never left.
Ooh.
I always liked Nick. I like Nick because he's Nick. He's an individual. He's passionate. He understands football. He understands players. The problem is that a lot of people don't understand Nick. You got to let him be him. And people want to put him in this mold, you know, like, you know, the old, you know, fat, overweight, used to play football coach. And that ain't Nick. You know?
You know what I think some of the problem is? I think he's gotten away from, let's forget about screaming at the crowd or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think he's thinking too much about who he is instead of just being who he is.
Yeah.
You know, you said he... You like him for who he is and let him be him. I think he is currently, because of all the noise, struggling to figure out what that even means anymore. You know?
I think I agree. And at some point, he gets so many people in his ear about what he's doing that he's getting away from who he is and conforming to what they think he should be. Case in point, if anybody I realized that this week, who's had the same situation as Nick, it had to be you, Spike, yesterday with that caller.
Which is how?
Yeah.
Well, somebody had an opinion about you. You could not change that opinion about them. They believed that about you, and it got to the point where you lashed out and said, wait a minute, I created this show.
Yes.
No, he said, I made this show.
I made this show.
Sorry, that one's going to last.
Yeah.
Exactly. Your new drop. That's right up there next to This Is My Show.
Yeah. I knew it as soon as I said it. I just, that was the moment where I was like, oh, no. All right.
And that's the same thing Nick has been experiencing. He's been dealing with so many people up his behind about every little thing that he just reached his boiling point. And then we've got some people in broadcast, I'm not going to mention, the Hammer, who's upset about Nick didn't apologize the way that he thinks he should apologize. Really? Come on.
Yeah, I mean, Joe can have, you know, I'm... I can understand being frustrated with how Nick acted on Sunday. And I think we all were. And if you already have this notion that you don't think the guy is a good coach, that almost, it just adds to what people already think. So, the big difference between me and Nick is that if I go off the rails on a caller, everybody's like, well, he's a sports talk host, whatever, you know, and they sort of move on. He's not supposed to be that way, you know? Right. And it's almost like I could, not that I want to yell at callers, but I couldn't do that when I was program director here. But right. You know what I mean? So, and that's what Nick's job is now, is sort of being the boss of the whole organization. But
if I could interject something, Spike,
yep.
You and Nick also have another thing in common. It's the simple fact of your personalities. You're big personality people. And when you have that personality, people are going to love you or they're going to hate you. And there's no middle. No matter what you do, the people who love you are going to love you. And no matter what you do, the people who hate you are going to hate you.
Nah. See, this is where we draw the line. Okay. Okay. Nick and Spike as leaders are completely different. I mean, Spike was always in control. Like, you always felt like there was a steady ship. I don't feel like the steady ship with Nick as the head coach of this football team. Do we believe that?
Well, the comparison was not in Spike and Nick's.
Yeah, Spike, this talk show host, but you know,
personality.
Yeah. He's not leading this show. He's he's here.
Yeah.
Rod leads this show.
Well, yeah, and you know, just like
we
Nick,
need
Spike
separate meetings.
Ball,
we don't need
through,
other
you know,
meetings.
Talking this year.
Hey, Big V. Next question for the Flyers tickets. Who's a guy?
See, I'm like Ike. I got a lot of them.
Well, you got to pick one, man.
But in acting, it would be Samuel L. Jackson with that swagger.
That's a good one.
No, that's a good one.
Samuel L. Jackson is a good one. Has a bunch of different
kinds
of...
That's it, Big V. No. You get one, and that's it. Yeah. Don't start naming off in different fields.
Yeah. Samuel L. Jackson's a great one.
It's a great one to go with. Yeah, you don't even need to add anybody.
And has a bunch of different ways of being the guy. Even, I think we mentioned it once, in Juice. I love Samuel L. Jackson in Juice. All he did was run the arcade, but you could still tell he was that dude.
Yeah.
He was
exactly.
that dude.
He was that dude.
He was that
Juice,
dude in the neighborhood.
He was the dude in the neighborhood and knew everything. He knew what was going on before you did.
Yep.
Yeah, Samuel is cool. Yeah, he is the definition of cool.
Yes, absolutely. So he's that guy. All right.
Plus, I loved him in, you know, he wore the Kango backwards in Jackie Brown.
Yes, he did.
With the little tail hanging out the
and
back.
And that actually, the Kango backwards became his look, I think, out of the movies
for a while.
He started
wearing it outside because he realized how people told him how good he looked
like,
in the movie.
Dude, you look good. It's like, if my wife tells me a shirt looks good on me, I'm going to wear that shirt constantly. I only need one compliment. That's all I need is one. Yeah. All right. So can Nick Sirianni win you back? 215-592-9494. Coming up next, we will hear from a former Eagles quarterback who takes us what it's like inside the NovaCare facility and what they think about the outside voices. We all thought this was a very interesting thing that we heard. So we will have that for you next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's what we do. We bring the boom. We bring the boom to you. That's right. It's the WIP Afternoon Show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Elliot telling us yesterday that he just thought it was some banger rap song, so he went to download it. I can only imagine how he felt when he looked it up.
He's like, what?
How ridiculous he must have felt.
Yes, this is the Costco guys? I mean, it does.
He thought it was Tone Luke.
What
is that his name?
Oh,
damn it.
I thought I nailed it.
Tone Luke.
Was it the phone? I thought it was the Funky Cole Medina guy.
Yes. Tone Loke.
Damn it. Not Tony Luke's.
No. Tone Luke. Actually, the chorus sounds like it could be a Tone Loke chorus. It's not.
Thank you.
It's
not close.
Yes, it's not a bad reference from you, but you just.
Damn it.
You just butchered the name.
It was so close. Tone Luke?
Loke. Yes,
Loke. Loke Next Monster.
That's Loch Ness Monster.
Get out of here. We're talking about Nick Sirianni today, and if there is anything, it does feel like there is a portion of the fan base who is out no matter what, and just asking, is there anything he can do to get you back in on Nick Sirianni? I say yes. Ike has always been a Nick guy. Jack says no. Now, he's going second today, so I guess that would make Corey from Columbus the Lou Whitaker of the WIP Afternoon Show.
Sweet Lou.
Yeah, Corey, you're on WIP.
Hey, man, I come off the bench and give you 50. Wherever you want me to be on the show, you know, wherever I
can count on you.
I'm going to give you some highlight reel tape. You know that. Hey, happy birthday to the Ohio legend, my man.
What up, bro? Listen, stop reminding me I didn't come out in the rain and take a picture with you.
Hey, man, I reached the WIP legend. Hey, man, he the reason. He a top two reason. Why, you know, I stuck with the afternoon show and rolled with you on. I'm a foxhole guy to the end.
And I made this show.
Yes, you did.
Hell yeah.
I know the guy that put you in the time slot, but I just, you definitely made it. You definitely made it.
Look at Nick Sirianni. Look at Nick Sirianni trying to find out how to get credit.
Jerry Jones over here.
Look, that's not your job. Yeah. Your job isn't to question my decisions.
No, hey, go man, ahead. But, what's up,
but,
C?
But Sirianni, man, I'm riding with my boy. Like, listen, like Sirianni, he do stuff that's annoying. The reason why he does, like, I don't mind the stuff that he do at all. But the reason why it becomes annoying to me is because it's like, it becomes a story that doesn't need to be talked about because, let's be real, Nick Sirianni heckling with the fans, that's not the reason why Jalen Hurts started the season not looking great. That's not the reason why the defense is getting lit up. Like, that's taking off, you know, pressure of the team looking mediocre when we're talking about that. That's what irritates me. But do I think what happened on Sunday – and how that happened, I think that's going to be a rally cry for the team. So I'm in. Y'all know me. I'm picking Eagles 17 weeks. I'm going down with the Titanic. If it go down, I'm on the ship. You know, and I'm glad. This is what I love about Nick. Because, see, with Nick, you know what you ain't got to worry about? You ain't got to worry about him trading players because they got a bad attitude, right? You don't got to worry. Something else. You don't got to worry about Nick, best friend, saying that your quarterback ain't that good and saying, hey, that's his opinion, but he my best friend and I ain't going to disagree with him.
Do you remember that with Doug and Brett Favre? I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah.
Come on here, Nick. Do nothing like that. Nick will say, hey, when his quarterback playing bad, he going to say, hey, I was out there throwing it with him. I was in his brain with him. I was the one telling him that's what I want in the head coach. And I get it. And that's why his players support him because it's like, he's going to take the blame off of them. And it's like, I hope that this team rallies around him. Like, this guy right here, let me point this at Jalen Hurts. I like the fact that Jalen Hurts is starting to support Nick Sirianni. But, Jalen, let me just talk to you real quick, dog. You had beef with Sirianni, but this team didn't want you, right? Like, they could have got any quarterback, but this dude rolled with you, dog. You became a good quarterback under this coach, right? This dude was the dude that was in the foxhole with you. When people were saying you couldn't throw, when people was calling you noodle arm, this was the
well, coach still
that
is.
Went down with you, right? This dude. So I'm glad you finally saying this is my guy and I'm a ride with him. Hey,
even if you don't really believe it,
yeah,
still
you
say
don't
it.
Believe it, ride with him.
Yes.
Hey man, and Sunday this gonna be this the takeoff game. Saquon Barkley revenge game. This is it, baby. Season starting now.
All right. Corey, next question today. Now, you probably can't go to the Flyers game because it's Saturday.
Yeah, I might want to go see Big Meats. You never know.
Okay. All right. Well, no, just because you're in Columbus and it's 2 days from now. That said, it is based. It's Bryce Harper's birthday as well. So who's a guy?
Who's a guy? So look, this might throw some people off. I'm going to say The Rock, and I'm not going to talk about The Rock, the movie star. I'm talking about The Rock, the WWE star.
Ah.
Everybody wanted to be The Rock on WWE when he come out. It's your smile, you know, when he wearing, you know, the silk shirt with the silk pants with the eyes and the glasses. That was a man right there, The Rock.
He was. And he did the thing that all, thank you for the call,
the eyebrow.
Oh, yeah, the eyebrow. And that all great wrestlers start off as a heel. And if you're great as a heel, people love you so much as a bad guy, they turn you into the good guy. And
I didn't even know The Rock was a heel.
Oh, he was. Yeah, Rock started as a heel.
I didn't know that.
Yes, he started as a heel. And then, like most of the wrestlers, when they start them off as bad guys, and then people like them too much, so they got to turn them into good guys.
So he was the heel when he was doing all of the candy ass and all that stuff. So, like when he had hair.
Well, and if I'm remembering this correctly, the main face, which is what you call the good guys in wrestling, the main baby face at the time was Stone Cold.
Right. So it was during that time.
He was the opposite, really, of the way that Stone Cold was.
Okay.
Rock's a good answer, I think.
Yeah.
Rock's a good answer.
Rock, I remember The Rock.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers, the official jeweler of you. If you're looking to get engaged, shop the home team at Mark's Jewelers with rings for every budget online at marks-jewelers.com. Can Nick Sirianni win you back over? Yes, he can, or no, I'm out. Ike, what do you think the percentages are on that Twitter question?
Ooh, well, it's hard to read this fan base when it comes to Nick. I'm going to go with the majority being out.
Okay.
And I'll go with 68%.
So you can tell it's a good question when it's close to 50-50, usually. 53% say no, I'm out.
Wow.
And 47% say yes, he can. Now, I think if we had taken this poll on Monday, it would have been 80% out.
Yeah, are you kidding me? Yeah.
I do think there's a portion that feel bad for him.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, we were just talking about
that. You said that,
In the break, I said, I like Nick. I don't know how good a coach Nick is. But on Monday, or when Sunday when he did that, I was so mad. Because I didn't think it was acceptable the way he acted, and I knew I had to be honest with it and crush him on Monday, but I didn't want to. Do you know what I mean? Because I don't.
Sure.
I don't want to feel that way about him.
Yeah, that's how I am pretty much every Sunday the Eagles lose. Yeah, I don't want to criticize any of them, but I'm like, oh God, I got to go ahead and kill Jalen today.
Yeah.
Or I got to find a way to make this not as painful today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did you a favor Sunday, but then Nick went and screwed it all up.
Yeah,
so.
No, you're exactly right.
Yeah, you didn't have to defend Jalen.
I was like, yeah, this is going to be, Jalen didn't turn the ball over, man. We're good. This is going to be a good day tomorrow. And I was like, oh, God, what happened with Nick at the end of the game?
Well, I could even tell when we were doing the show on Monday, and I was getting negative about Jalen. I could tell that you were just like, no, not today, man.
Yeah.
You're not making me do this on, but with both guys today. So before we get back to the phones, Chase Daniel does a podcast with Diana Russini, and there's one other guy on that podcast, right?
Just on that last, it's mostly just Russini and him.
Okay.
And that was Mike Sando on the last one.
And it's on The Athletic. The podcast is called
Scoop City.
Scoop City. And Chase Daniel spent, was he just here a year, I think? They spent $8 million on him to be the backup quarterback.
Which is egregious.
Yeah, and then he got mad, by the way, when they started Carson Wentz over him, which...
which is even more egregious.
Yeah. It's kind of like the competitive nature of Chase Daniel.
Yeah, the competitive nature.
But I do think Chase Daniel has become a very, very good, like Orlovsky, as a backup quarterback, has become a very good analyst, Chase Daniel has. And he was talking about what it was like in the NovaCare facility when he was quarterback here, and here's what he had to say.
And I'm a little bit torn because I've been in that building before, and I was in it for a year in 2016, and I've never seen, how do I put this? I've never seen a more keenly aware locker room of what is being said on the outside than in Philadelphia, from the players, from the equipment staff, from the training room, from Big Dom, from Howie Roseman. They freaking care so much about what other people think that they don't have their own way of thinking at times. And yes, it produced a Super Bowl in 2017. They hit gold with it. But I've never seen in my entire life more disconnect in a locker room between, oh, this guy wrote this about me, and then another player agreeing with the writer and not having their guys back. It just is how it is in Philadelphia. I'm not going to name names, but I've seen it multiple times there. And so when I saw this, at first I was like, as a player, I'm like, I love this. Like, as a, and then I think, and I'm like, well, as media, I actually really hate this. It shows emotional Like, you're just emotional, you're immature, you don't know how to handle your emotions.
So what is most interesting about that, I think, in terms of what we're talking about, is how much harder it, now this was 8 years ago, but there's still the same, you know, top line leadership, which I think it probably trickles down from, is how hard Sirianni's, how hard it must be on him if they are so conscious of what is happening outside. And it just, it makes him, I think his already his frustration about what people are saying about him. Mm-hmm. But if he's also in the back of his mind saying, well, the bosses are obsessed with what is happening outside, you know, what people are saying, how it even is pushing him in several different ways. And I don't say any of that in terms of him being a coach, though I think it may have had some effect on those fourth down decisions early. Mm-hmm. So he already seems a little sensitive to what is happening around. But if he is in an atmosphere that is also hypersensitive, it might even make it worse.
Yeah, I'll answer this in two parts. Chase Daniel was here 8 years ago.
Yep.
That was prior to them winning the Super Bowl. So they may have been hypersensitive to a lot of things. That's also coming off the Chip Kelly era where Chase Daniel was here. A lot of things have changed sort of from then. Like, there's a lot of positive that have happened that hadn't occurred when Chase Daniel was playing here that prior to left a lot of people. Howie was just coming back to being the GM in 2016. He had his title stripped away from him. And so I don't want to discredit what Chase is saying his experience was being here, but it's hard for him to really know what it's like here. He's not been back here since.
Now, what
so
it's like
he's
now.
Just, he's yeah. just talking from Los Angeles yep. and looking at it on Twitter and everything else. But does that mean he's wrong when it comes to are people in the building paying too much attention to what's on the outside? There's probably some truth to that. And that's where I'll come to us and I'll say, that's the power of this platform. That's the power of sports in this town. It matters to everyone. And I don't care how much you may try to ignore the stuff, man, it has to get hard when it's all we do. Think about this. Like the Phillies, they get an offseason. The Sixers, they get an offseason. The Flyers, whether it's in season or off season, we don't talk about them very much.
Yep. Flyers and 50 at 3:30 today.
We talk about the Eagles all the time. So it's hard for them not to hear it at some point.
Sure.
Right? You're like, that's why Bryce was like, yeah, I kind of enjoyed listening more during our off season when they're talking about the other team.
Sure.
Yeah, the Eagles can't say that because the Eagles get talked about all the time. We're going to critique free agency. We're going to critique the draft, right? Like, we're going to critique all those things, OTAs. So, I don't know. I guess they had to have a better awareness and not react to things of that nature.
That's the key.
But for them hearing it shouldn't be a surprise. Like,
sure.
It'd be foolish for us to think they don't hear what we say about them.
I think the thing that he intimated there, and he didn't give any examples, but the thing that he intimated there is that it affects how they run the organization.
Right.
And
right.
From a PR perspective, that's one thing. Fine. That, you know, if you know, Bob Lang or whatever sees that Nick does what he does on Sunday, it's his job to sit down with him and say, this is how this is going to work. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Bob Lang, PR guy there. So they should be aware of it from that standpoint. But if it is affecting how they make football decisions or how they play, then that, I think, could become problematic.
Yeah, oh, for you sure. Know? Especially yeah. when you're talking about in-game stuff. Are you
yes.
kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean, Angelo got Doug to take the ball on a coin toss.
Right.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. Right. Like, that's where that clip comes from. So I agree with you. It should not have any impact on what they do on the field. But let me ask you this. Not saying that they should take a poll or listen to a Twitter poll that we may have.
Which may have happened for a different team.
Yeah, may have happened somewhere else.
Might have gotten us Bryce Harper rather than Manny Machado.
You're yes. welcome.
Yeah.
But I was going to say to that effect, I'm tongue-in-cheek there, but do you think they should listen when it comes to like things like that? Like if a fan base is all in or are all out on a certain player for, let's say, moral value reasons or what have you.
Right.
they should take some heed to that and know and read the room and know what their fan base is saying.
Yes, I think they should. I think their job always should just be to find a way to not make whatever decisions they're making from a football perspective, find a way to not make it worse, you know, publicly. Mm-hmm. Just try to find a way to temper it. But I think, and that's why Nick's reaction is so key to this, and it's why his personality is such a potential positive or negative, is that he can feed into the bad stuff the wrong way.
And
I think it taps into, for his players who like him, but they like him, I think, because they feel like he feels similarly.
Oh, yeah.
But you can't. It's bad for your players to do what you did, so you can't do it.
Right.
Like you already have a team full of guys, but has enough guys who are overly conscious of what's being said publicly.
Yeah.
So if the
at least a handful.
So if the coach and the organization are reinforcing that, not that they should. I don't think anybody over there is saying, you should clap back on Twitter.
But you mean by their actions?
Yes.
By his actions is reinforcing that.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
215-592-9494. Can Nick Sirianni get you back on board, Chuck Mountaineri? You're on WIP.
Come on, Chuck.
Man, you ain't got to say me like this. Like, you know what I mean?
No, I just know what you're going to say. That's all. I love you. Yeah.
No, I want to say happy birthday, Ike, man.
I appreciate it, broski. Thank you.
You know, you admire in so many ways, man. Great husband, great father, man of God.
Thank you.
Great personality. You know what I'm saying? You need to be recognized, bro. So enjoy your day.
Appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
And you're the only damn reason why I'm able to call after me. I'm a firm believer of that. He wasn't up there.
Hold on. Wait a minute. What are you talking about? No, you know what? Chuck, I can attest to this.
Yes.
At no point did I, even at our worst, you and I, did I ever say no more Chuck.
Nope.
Never said it.
Nope.
Never said it. Didn't want you to harm me physically, but I at no point did I ever say no more Chuck. So credit to Ike, 100%, love Ike, but you should know that I was not trying to run you off the radio station at any point.
Yep.
Yeah, I know. I'm just kidding. I never picked you on social media. That's my claim to fame. Yeah, and I never did. I'm going to stick with that one. But I ain't got much to say. I just wanted to say happy birthday to Ike, man.
Oh, okay. Oh, no.
Come on, Nicky.
We need some Nick takes.
Come on, man. All these teams stink. You just got to live with it. You know what I mean? If you want to hear it, I give it to you. You know what I mean? Nothing negative. I don't have no positive things.
I was just wondering about the coach. Can the coach win you over?
All these teams, man. I'm sick of you. You're just
mad at every team right now. Yeah.
Yeah, I am, man. Look at this. Look at the Sixers, man. Just look at Joel Embiid on the shelf already. Before the season gets started. I told you guys. I told you, man. Him and then Paul George are a great acquisition. He even touched the floor. He even sniffed the regular season game. And he's, I told you he'd be hurt before January. And it's October, and they hurt like clockwork. I told you that. But then look at the Eagles. Nick Sirianni's an idiot. Jalen Hurts ain't good enough. And no, he can't win me over. You kidding me? I never liked him in the first place. I do give him grace for what happened the other day because he's human. Somebody throw popcorn on you and, throw drinks at you and flowers at you, you're going to react eventually too. So I get that part of it. But the guy's a complete moron. He got his hand in the office. He's over, man. This thing is over, man. And the Phillies are just poop, okay? Just straight up poop, man. And the GM came on with that garbage, interview yesterday or a press conference, not acting like he don't even care. What are we doing, man? And the Flyers are just the Flyers, man. Gritty is the only thing to look forward to when you watch.
Nah, come on, man. Meech is here.
Yeah, we're Meechkoff guys.
Who the hell is that?
Oh, you're going to learn. You're going to learn, Meechkoff.
Russian sensation.
Yeah, we're going to be the Russian here just for Meechkoff.
The only Russian I know is Ivan Drago, and he's fictional.
Well, what about our guy Putin?
No, I don't know. That's not political. I'm just kidding.
Hey, Chuck, in honor of Bryce's birthday, we got a pair of tickets to the Flyers home opener. Next question today is, who's a guy? Who's your go-to guy?
Well, this guy would take my wife in a heartbeat. I'd be without a woman. And this guy's very, very, he's a very, very cool dude, man. I'm going to say
Stringer Bell, Idris Elba.
Idris Elba's a good Idris one. Elba. He's on my. That dude's cool as hell, man.
Cool as hell, man. Cool. You know what I mean? So, you know,
I think my wife secretly got a crush on Stringer Bell, too.
You know,
yeah.
He needs to drop the British accent, but.
Well, he's British.
British.
Thank you for the call, Chuck.
How did they get him to play somebody from Baltimore?
Dude, he nailed it, too. I like, again.
The underrated Idris Elba role. Have you ever seen Pacific Rim?
No.
So it's a sci-fi.
I know what you're talking about.
So it's a sci-fi movie about monsters that actually live in the middle of the earth that come out of the seas, and they have to destroy them. And he has this one speech where he says something like, "Today we're canceling the apocalypse," and he's speaking to all his soldiers or whatever. Yeah. I'm like, yes. Idris Elba is a good answer.
Oh, Stringer Bell's a great actor, man.
Great answer.
Yeah, very good.
All right,
coming up. And he was very cool too. Cool,
super cool.
Yeah. Needs to be the next James Bond.
People have been talking about that for a while about him being the next James Bond. He's going to hit a point where he might be too old. I guess. I mean, he's probably he's probably late 50s. I think Idris Elba. Yeah. Well, you know.
Hey.
You,
some of these guys.
You all age pretty well. Well,
he's 52.
There you go. 52. Well, I mean, it's true.
What do you mean, you all?
Well, black people. Black don't crack. Yeah. It's true. You just age better. I mean, what do you want out of me? It's true.
I didn't say anything.
It's a compliment.
I'm just looking at everybody else blushing.
Oh, no.
I don't know where the hell you're going.
Yeah, the black don't crack is a thing. It's the reason that it's said. There you go. I don't want to get deeper into it.
Oh,
but,
man.
All right. Joining us next.
But you're right.
Well, it's true.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah, so we will continue talking about Nick Sirianni.
I'm Kenny, really 40. I just turned 40 today.
Yeah, see, that's what you look exactly the same as when I first met you. So we will continue talking about Nick Sirianni. Kenny, when you back, 215-592-9494. Coming up next, we get to do another Phillies eulogy, but this time with a guy who can eulogize correctly. That is Larry Anderson, who will join us next. And we'll ask him about the whole black don't crack thing as well. That's next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.